He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
I don't know. I'm very emotional right now hearing that opening. What has it been, 2 months, Dr. Brown?
It's been a while.
Oh my gosh!
A little added one. Our little special show on a Friday, right?
I know we did. We did do one of those. But for anybody who missed it, Dr. Brown has not been on a Thursday in I think about 2 months because we had Diner Tour. We had some vacations in there between the two of us.
Right.
My dude, welcome back.
Yeah, happy
so
to be here.
So glad to have you here. Although I think I'm going to mess you up again next week because of the 4th of July.
I know. And you listen to you. It's still summer, so there's some vacation here and there, right?
I know. Yeah. But I did about 3 Diner Tour stops in, have major concerns, as we do every year. Did Dr. Brown quit the show? First of all, he can't. He's not allowed to.
He's not allowed to.
Here's the thing. Is horrible things will happen if he quits the show. No, I'm just kidding. But, yes, we're so glad to have you back. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. No, I'm happy to be here and happy to answer questions and chat with you and represent Griffin Hospital.
Good. Well, we love having you here, Dr. Brown, always and forever. So, you know what's probably so frustrating, though, is out of all the years you and I have talked on this show, there are so many things that we're kind of playing deja vu this morning. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You know what's going on. So this month, Connecticut actually was added to this list. That we have a confirmation of our first measles case of the year. But on top of that, across the country, this is actually the top infectious disease story. The largest infectious disease story right now in America remains the ongoing measles resurgence. The CDC reporting more than 2,100 confirmed cases so far in 2026 across 41 jurisdictions. There you go. Measles.
Absolutely crazy, right?
Is it though? I feel like we've had this conversation before,
right? We've heard it. You've heard it first here. I don't think there's any surprises here. I mean, you and I spoke about this, and you know, at this decline in the vaccine is very effective, and we know that this organism is very infectious. And the problem is that if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to be susceptible to it. And it's, you know, it's predominant around the world. So why would we not start seeing it here? It is very concerning because it's a completely preventable disease. It can be detrimental, significantly detrimental to children. So I think we need to continue to say, listen, we've proven the theory. We've done the science, right? We haven't seen it in all these years because we've been vaccinated. We stop vaccinating and it shows up again.
Yeah, but I think that's what's so concerning, Dr. Brown, as I was reading this. And according to the CDC, the total's already approaching the entire 2025 count. We're not even halfway. Well, I guess we're close. We're close. We're almost to July. But that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy. But it's the states, you know, like Arizona, Utah, Texas, South Carolina that are seeing the big hotspots. Those are the ones that are really seeing quite a bit. And again, it's the organism is extremely infectious. You know, you come in contact with it and you're not vaccinated, then you're going to get the measles. The concern is, and we talked about this before. The concern is that if you, you know, it is when we start breaking through the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And we knew with COVID, right? If you got the COVID vaccine, but, you know, it made it weaker and it allowed it, you know, it made it less likely for you to get it, but it didn't mean that it was going to be completely, you know, that you're completely avoidant of getting it. And that's the concern that I'm watching for is that this highly contagious virus becomes more prevalent. And as it becomes more prevalent, then there's a higher possibility that it can overcome our immunity and we can actually get it even if you've been vaccinated. And we'll see. That may actually start leading to a new change in the boosters.
Yikes. Well, this is why you can't quit the show. See, you just proved my point.
But right now we're not seeing that.
Yeah, we're not there yet, though.
We're not there yet. Your MMR is good. It's working. you know what, herd immunity is still the majority of the people have it. It's these communities that, you know, the communities where the decision or, you know, the decision was not to get the vaccine, and this is what happens.
Well, this is why we call you the peace of mind in the medical field. Dr. Brown is here. Interestingly enough, Dr. Brown, one of the last times you and I were talking on that random Friday, actually, we talked about hantavirus. Now, did you see the CDC has already concluded their response to that? Like, it kind of came and went, all the frenzy around that. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
That is interesting, and again, also not necessarily surprising. You know, the hantavirus is very limited in what it does. I think the concern about this virus versus others. So the most common strain in North America is a strain called the Sinobre virus, which is usually it's usually associated with Arizona, New Mexico. Funny enough, we just mentioned those, but so those are the areas that were there. It's that strain is actually only associated with it's what we call a zoonotic strain. So it's only associated with animals.
Oh, got it.
So in this case, it's zoonotic from animal droppings, in particular mice droppings. So when the mice droppings end up getting very dry, you know, and there's a lot of them that are there, or it's a dry season, and the rodents end up going into think of a cabin in the desert is probably the best way to think about it. You know, where the rodents are trying to hide, and they're all hiding up in the attic, and then you decide that you just bought it, and now you decide that you're going to clean it out, and you don't wear a mask.
Right.
That's Sinobre. That's classic. Board question. That's what you potentially get, but you can only get it that way. That strain does not spread person to person. So even though you go into the hospital, you know, you can't spread it to healthcare workers. You can't spread it to other people.
Okay.
The concern is the one that was in the one from South America called the Andes virus, which also is hantavirus. That was the one that they had identified. But even that, it's unusual and rare to be transitioned person to person, but there were some concerns about that. And then there's some laboratory diagnosis, but when it was all said and done, it was a very small number of people who ended up having true hantavirus. So, recap: hantavirus comes in different flavors. The flavors that we see here are the ones that we would be only associated with animals, in particular rodents. So key feature here is that make sure if you're cleaning out an area where there's a rodent infestation, make sure you're wearing a respirator. Make sure you're wearing a mask. It's really, really important.
Yeah, super important.
Plus it's gross.
Plus it's really gross. That's very true. It really is. And actually this week, the CDC formally ending its emergency response after determining that the outbreak risk had basically diminished, to Dr.
Absolutely.
Brown's point. So appreciate that. We have a lot to catch up on when it comes to infectious disease stories, and we've got Dr. Brown here, our infectious disease expert, our peace of mind in the medical field. Let's move to a couple animal-related stories, Dr. Brown, interestingly enough. The CDC continues to monitor bird flu, H5N1, outbreaks in birds, poultry, dairy cattle as well. Right. So I want to remind folks that the current public health risk is low, but what could this potentially mean, obviously, for our animal populations, but also if we were to consume animal products?
Absolutely. So from the animal product aspect, it's extremely low, if not non-existent. So it actually you have to have in contact with these animals. So the concern would be is that people who are farmers or, you know, visit sort of progressive farming areas, which again is pretty unlikely. Those are the concerns. It's we do see it transmit from birds to other animals, which is always a concern. It's predominantly seen in where our biggest concern is usually in chickens. Again, because they're close. If you think about it, we talk a lot about viruses here. You know, we talk about them, you know, viruses spread by things being close, and they're essentially next to each other, and they spread the virus by being close to each other. So that's how it gets end up spreading amongst chickens. It sometimes gets picked up by wild birds. Wild birds are a little trickier. If you have lots of wild birds around you, that is a possibility. The bigger concerns is it can be spread to cows, But again, it's not. You would actually have to come in contact with the cow and not the cow meat. And it can, and interesting enough, it's been associated with sort of barn cats, and then probably the last piece is the humans. So it's a circle, but I would say it's very much focused on sort of birds themselves, and then it sort of spreads to the rest. But again, this is a respiratory virus, so something has to breathe on you to get it, and that could be a cow, a chicken, a bird, and in a rare case, maybe even a cat.
What about kind of switching gears? Earlier this month, we also learned that the first time in a few years, at least, the detection of New World screwworm in the United States. And this is this was discovered in a calf in Texas, and it kind of brought some concern to, you know, farming, ranching industry, but also, you know, higher beef prices, if it's going to impact how much, you know,
right,
when we don't
right.
have as much. And again, I don't know as much of the consuming, but do you worry about that at all?
Not from a human standpoint, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It is a rare occurrence where a human can get it, but it's in sort of the U.S. and sort of our developed world, something like this is not just going to happen. You are going to know that something is weird, and you will catch it early. I mean, it's a parasite. It's an organism that will actually. It's not even really a parasite. It's a larva that actually burrows into the skin, and that's sort of the whole point. It's a fly larva. It's a special type of fly that does it. The concern is that animals can't necessarily get those off, and in turn they can end up getting it. So being hyper vigilant on the animals and trying to prevent, you know, any sort of overgrowth like that, or again, I'm trying. It's breakfast time.
I know. I do this to you. You did a great job, and we totally knew what you meant. And here, I'll have you move on.
I don't know how much further we can go on the.
You got this. No.
As far as I'm concerned, again, humans pretty low. There are definitely some outside of the country that's probably more common. But as I would say, the concern I think with both bird flu and with screwworm, the bigger concerns is that how is that going to affect the price of chicken, poultry, eggs, and cows, especially given our current economy.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Again, we've got Dr. Brown here, and don't worry, we'll get switch gears. This week actually marks 2 weeks that we're now into the World Cup. And there were all these concerns about, you know, what was this going to mean? You've got people traveling all into the U.S. I did notice, actually, that the CDC recently deployed emergency funding for Ebola outbreaks. Now, this is preparedness because of what's going on in the Republic of the Congo, as well mm-hmm. as Uganda. But this is more increased preparedness for the United States. Have we seen any risks or anything since the World Cup and the traveling and all that, not to mention just the summer season? Have we seen anything? Have you heard of anything? Or are we still kind
no,
of in that?
Just that all the Scottish drank all the beer in Boston. That's all I heard.
Okay. That's it. You're so funny. I have seen that. It's all over. They're just moving about. Apparently, they came to Connecticut, though. I think they were in Connecticut, too. Yes.
The Connecticut drank the beer, and I drank the Connecticut beer, which is fine. Listen, it's good for the economy.
No,
in general, I mean, I think you have to, and I think you do have to be hyper-vigilant on Ebola. It is a deadly virus. It is identifiable. Relatively easily identifiable, but we have to put those. We definitely have to have the world sort of on alert when we see these types of outbreaks, and in particular when we see this type of strain. Again, the newer strain that we're currently seeing, but I think we've got it. You know, I think everybody's on board with this, and I think we really have got it contained. Does that mean that we might see a case or two? We might, but again, as I said, I don't foresee this being sort of a major outbreak anywhere in the U.S.
But a good idea, it sounds like, to invest that kind of money in the preparedness.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, this is one that's. I mean, as I said it's relatively. If you can identify and isolate in this is one that's really important to identify and isolate. And there's really specific ways that it can be transmitted. And I think that's really sort of the biggest piece. I think, again, getting, you know, locating, you know, location is the big one in this case, in, you know, location and then coming here. So I think everyone's in high alert on that.
Okay. Dr. Brown, I lied to everybody because we've totally run out of time. But this is what happens when we take 2 months of not talking to each other, and there's millions and millions of stories you and I could talk about. So
absolutely. We'll talk about all our Scottish colleagues who are injuring their livers. Talk about that.
You're like, listen here. But unfortunately, for today, we've run out of time. But we will be back, obviously, on schedule. Unfortunately, not next week because of the 4th of July. But I promise you, we're back on schedule after that. And Dr. Brown, I so appreciate you always making the time for us on a weekly basis. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Melissa.
Glad to have you back. Enjoy your 4th of July. We'll talk after that. Sounds good.